He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob.
Oh, hold on just a second. Give him the throne of David. Okay. And he shall reign. Okay, go ahead.
Over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there is no end.
He shall rule, is that right? Over his
rule, reign,
reign, and he shall rule over. Is that right? And that goes.
Let's see. He shall be great, shall be.
Oh yeah, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Okay, all right. Okay, that's good. That's good. We're gonna look at this for just a few moments. We have the divine revelation that the angel gave to Mary. Okay, this is when Mary comes. The angel comes and announces to Mary what's going to happen here. All right, and he tells her she's going to have a son. His name is going to be Jesus. He's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be called the Son of the Most High. He's going to be the Son of the Most High. But this tells us three things about who he is. And then we learn three things about his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Three things about his purpose. Now, what I wanted to do this morning was to look at this with you, and let's see what we can learn, even in the Christmas story, about Jesus and about who he is and what he's supposed to be doing in just three short verses. Okay? Well, first off, it says that his name is Jesus. He should be called Jesus. Okay? Now, Jesus, if you want to, what I've been trying to do myself is when I see this word written here, I think rescuer. Okay? When the Jews heard this particular word said in their language.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What they heard was, God is rescuer. God is our rescuer. God is your rescuer.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they heard. Their mental picture, all right, when they heard that name, okay, their mental picture that they got, it's like when I say dog, you picture an animal, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think D-O-G. You think a dog. Mm-hmm. So, as you've maybe seen or had or whatever, you had. That's what you think of. That's your mental picture. Well, the Jews had a mental picture of someone who's going to come and save them, come and rescue them, all right? And this can be a personal rescue. For example, if you're in a flood, you know, you're on the housetop in a flood, somebody comes by in a boat and says, get in, I'll rescue you, kill them, you know what I mean? You jump in the boat, thank you for rescuing me.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Or it can be a national rescuer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the enemy is coming, knocking at the gates, boom, boom, you know. They're attacking, they're destroying our fields, they're burning down our homes, everything. We're running from them. Oh, mm-hmm. Here comes a rescuer, mm-hmm. okay? He's going to defeat the enemy and return our fortunes to us.
Mm-hmm.
So they had this mental image, okay, when they heard this name, okay, that could go personal or it could be national.
Right.
All right? So when they thought Messiah, they thought national, right?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Maybe when they thought Jesus, they were thinking more personal. I don't know just how that went. So the Hebrew word from which this comes is the one that we translated in the Old Testament, Joshua. It's actually the same word, right? And that's what Joshua means, the rescuer, okay? And it says, God is our rescuer. Who is God? God is the I am.
Mm-hmm.
God is the I am. He's existence.
Mm-hmm.
All right, he's the existor. He makes everything exist. So what can someone who makes everything exist do for you to rescue you? Anything. All right, well, here back to that word. Anything. He can do anything. All right? I mean, if someone were to pulverize you so that every atom just separated from every other atom in your body, God could come along and put you all back together. Because
mm-hmm.
He is the exister. He makes everything exist.
Amen.
Even if you were to cease to exist, He can make you exist.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing He can't do to rescue you.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So this is who we're talking about, Jesus. Now, the angel told Mary, it says, His name will be great. He shall be great. And used in this context of the Greek word is megas, M-E-G-A-S. Megas. All right, we get our word mega, all right, like a megabyte. All right, we've heard of megabytes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, probably in this case, though, the word megas or this particular word refers to his authoritative rank. Okay? His ability, virtue, authority, and power. Think of, we say, oh, great Caesar. We've seen them in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great Caesar, you know. Or maybe Alexander the Great. He wasn't a little Alexander. He wasn't Alexander the Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't the Alexander who had a very bad day. He was Alexander the Great.
Mm-hmm.
He had great authority, great power, great rank. This is who her son's going to be. Great.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be Jesus the Great. Right, and then thirdly, he'll be called what?
Son
of the Highest. I just put the ESV on there. I put that on there. Did I do that right?
Most means S.
Is it Most High or Son of mm-hmm. the Highest? Okay, excuse me. Son of the Highest. Actually, these are it means the same thing. You understand?
Yeah.
Son of the Most High, the Highest. If you go back in the Old Testament, you'll find God referred to as Highest, or the Most High God, or the mm-hmm. Most High.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll just shorten it and say the Highest. Mm-hmm. You read through the King James Version, this is what you'll get. The Highest, again, refers to rank.
Mm-hmm.
Which God is He? He is the Most High God.
Mm-hmm.
The Most High God of Daniel. Right? He was in Daniel 12 times. It talks about the Most High God in Daniel. In Psalms,
mm-hmm.
it talks about the Most High 10
mm-hmm.
times in Psalms. Yep. Even in Genesis,
mm-hmm.
he's referred to as the Most High 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
Melchizedek was priest of the Most High God.
Mm-hmm.
So, This is, he's going to be the son of the Most High, son of the Highest. Okay? So this tells you who he's going to be. This is pretty good resume, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man.
I mean, that's a pretty good resume.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's the rescuer.
Yeah.
He is great.
Yeah.
He is the son of the Most High God.
Yeah.
Man.
Talk about references. You see? So now, this is what we learned in just one of the verses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But the angel didn't stop there. The angel goes on. All right. And he says three things that all refers to his purpose. What is his purpose? They all refer to his kingship. Okay? Mm-hmm. Kingship. Well, let's go back and look at this again. Let's see here. It says, right after he says he's going to be the son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne
of David,
of his father David.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we could spend a lot of time just going back and looking at all the things said about David and that his kingdom would last forever. God made a promise to him. You'll always have someone to sit on the throne. All this kind of stuff. Y'all know some of these things. I probably don't have to go over that with you. But look at this. When the announcement was made to Mary, okay, these are the things the angel or God thought was as important for her to know. Okay? You're going to have a baby. When the doctor says, oh, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, you're going to have a baby. Does he say this kind of stuff? This baby is going to do this, this, and this. No, you don't say that kind of stuff, do you?
Yeah.
But this is what God said to Mary.
Mm-hmm.
It's important for you to know, Mary, not only who he is, but what he's going to do.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Great things.
Not only who Jesus is going to be, but this is what he's going to do.
Mm.
And then he says three things, and look at them. Mm. They're all about what? The kingdom of God. What did Jesus come to preach?
Kingdom.
Good news of the kingdom of God. When we read his parables, when we read his teachings in the New Testament, what's he always saying? The kingdom of God is likened to a blank, right? The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like that. He's preaching the good news of the kingdom. Well, this is why. Because he is the ruler of the kingdom.
Yeah.
All right? It says he's going to inherit or have the throne of David. An everlasting throne. An everlasting kingdom there. Mm-hmm. It says that he will reign forever.
Thank God.
Reign over the house of Jacob forever.
Mm-hmm.
So his rightful position is as king of the people of God. He receives the throne from God,
mm-hmm.
as David did. How long is he going to reign?
Forever.
Thank you, Lord.
He's going to reign forever. His duration of his reign is forever. And then it comes down and it says, and of his kingdom, there will be
no end.
No end.
Praise God.
Well, now, the way I read that is the extent of his kingdom. How far is it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the they talk about Texas, how big things are, you know. And they had a guy from Britain come over and visit one of these Texan ranchers, you know. And the Texas guy, you know, he's a big boaster. You know, he wanted to boast about how big a ranch he had.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, you know, I got a big ranch. I'm going to impress this guy because Texas is big. I got a big spread. He said, they want to spread. I can get in this car and I can drive for 2 hours. And I won't leave my ranch. But I could drive for 4 hours. I would still be on my own land. The guy from Britain said, I had a car like that once. So our bragging doesn't always work out, does it? So his kingdom is not going to know a bound.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's no end to it. The extent goes all over.
Yeah.
You know, she was well aware of kingdoms and kings. King to kingdom, they go and come. They never could claim that there would be no end. The natural kings, they would just go and come, die out. Somebody else would take their kingdom, their throne, you know. And that's what God had told Nebuchadnezzar, that your kingdom is truth. But to make this, that it will have no end, I mean, that was quite different mm-hmm. than the kings that they were used to.
Mm-hmm.
Coming and going. Had they all kings and kingdom had an end to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But to make a claim like that, that was way above our mentality. We knew it was a God thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also this indicates that it's over the entire earth.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, They were very, very aware of boundaries to kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Very, very aware. You know, how big is David's kingdom? How big was Solomon's kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much of the land is ours? But he said, it's all going to be his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
It doesn't go from the river Euphrates down to Egypt. It goes, there is
all
no end.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
There is no end. All over.
That's good.
Yeah. So let's see.
Well, he's a king to look forward to.
Yes.
Amen.
Okay. No more elections.
All right. So there. Let's see. Oh yeah. Okay. I think this is actually a two-part thing, and the second part is. Let's see. Only got like 6 minutes, so I'm not even going to get into the second part right now. But maybe we can do that another time. But
okay.
It's the second part, I'll just give you a handle on it, give you a little teaser on this, okay? I'm going to read Luke 2, 10 through 11. And I'm going to put in comments. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when I read it, you listen to the comments, and you know what's part of the Bible. What's my comments? I think it'll be pretty easy. Okay, I think it'll be pretty easy. So the angel came. Of course, this is to the shepherds. All right, the angel shows up to the shepherds. Right, and of course, when they look up, they see the shepherd. They see the angel. Okay, there's only one to begin with. What happens to the shepherds? They are
afraid.
They are sore afraid, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are very afraid. They are terrified,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like, whoa, you know. And of course, first thing the angel says is, you're in big trouble, guys. No. He doesn't say that. Right. This is what he says, okay? All right, he said, all right, and the angel said unto them, fear not. Even though I am very strong and powerful, and you surely realize that I could take this sword and slash your head from your body quicker than you can blink an eye, and surely as sinful as you are, you deserve nothing less.
Mm-hmm.
For behold, listen closely. I bring you good tidings of great joy.
Mm-hmm.
That is the gospel. Which shall be to all people, Jews, Gentiles, Romans, and even lowly shepherds. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, a rescuer.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking rescuer.
Thank you.
Which is Christ,
mm-hmm.
the anointed or chosen one for the purpose of rescuing the nation of Israel or the world from
Thank
the
you.
Effects of sin.
Mm.
The Lord, the supreme authority, whom everyone should or must obey. A little wordy, but maybe it gets the message across, you know? The shepherds heard what the shepherds were thinking, maybe. Wow, this angel could kill me in a moment. I'm sore afraid. But, hey, no, I didn't come to kill you. I came to give you good news.
Yeah.
Good news.
Good news. Good news.
Yeah, maybe
they had heard so much bad news. You know, just like us, you know, when we deal with politics, we've heard so much bad news and always hearing bad news. But the angel said, I came to bring you good news. Good news. Praise God.
So the shepherds, you know, of course, after they heard that, it was like, whoa. Good news, good news. And then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of them. Praising. If they got a little bit out of their fear to begin with, then suddenly, boom, instead of one angel, they got a whole bunch of them. And it was kind of interesting. We were taking some international students to a Bethlehem walkthrough, Nazareth walkthrough, Life with Jesus walkthrough sort of thing this week. And I was trying to explain to them, one of them, you know, what all this meant, what was going on, you know, and the good news and stuff. And he asked me, when we got to that point, he asked me, he said, what did the angels look like? And I said, no one knows. I don't know. He said, because angels can take different forms. We may always think of angels as what? Is looking like men, right? Because that's the way they came to Mary. That's how they came to John.
Yeah.
John's father, right? So we think of them as having human form, maybe having big wings, or robes, white robes, or something like this. But they just look like people, okay, when they came to Zacharias, when they came to Mary. They just look like people. They were wearing regular clothes, all right? But when the shepherds saw them, it wasn't that way. It wasn't that way, you see. We don't know what all these... A multitude of the heavenly host. What did these angels look like in Revelation? You know. What do they look like? Weird stuff. Weird. Those cherubs. They ain't little
face.
Babies. They're weird looking things. They got heads.
Four
faces on them. They got all kinds of wings. Bodies look like weird things. I mean, they just look weird. Okay? But so we don't know what the angels look like. I have to be honest with you, Mike. I hadn't really thought about it. So, anyway.
But for them to get so afraid, the angel had to look like something that they weren't used to seeing every day.
Well, even just the though fact that it was up there. Would be just the fact that it was
in the air.
Yeah,
and so many, you know. But... Even when we see an angel look like a man, dressed in man, you know, form, he still have this angelic. You know, you can taste something different about that man. Because I was in the hospital one night, and my daughter had a serious accident. And I'm sure this was an angel. This tall, dressed in white, all over in white. She just walked the door and said, she's going to be all right. And kept going. I ran out to look for dressed in all the way down to her, just odd looking toes. At first when she said it, I couldn't get it, you know. I said, that's unusual. That lady didn't look normal. Because so much was going through my mind when I said, that didn't look normal. And I ran out to Doe to try to find.
Girl.
And just like she said, she was just fine, you know. Yeah. She was just bringing me that assurance.
Yeah.
You know. And I went, whoa, that was an angel of the Lord. That wasn't human. That was not human at all. You know, Ray, I know it's about to cut enough time, but I wanted to bring something back to Mary.
when all this was coming to Mary, most people think that Mary just, first time hearing about this, she just accepted what the Lord said. But from Eve on down, every woman was expecting, maybe this may be that child that God had promised that was going to come into the world. Each one of them thought that, hey, this might be the child. Mary's problem that she was just poor, and she didn't think that God would come to such a lady of a poor estate. He would probably go to somebody a little more wealthier than she was. But when she said, Lord, you're going to do it to me, bid it unto me then. I mean, you know, bid it. Everybody think, I mean, not everybody, but a lot of the people think that that was her first time, you know, and she just so obedient to the word of God. They had